Suns fans, you know what time it is in the PHX.
Empire of the Suns.
Phoenix Suns.
The Empire of the Suns podcast is brought to you by Sonic. Sonic.
Empire of the Suns.
Hello there. Welcome to the Empire of the Suns podcast. My name is Kellen Olson, joined as always by Kevin Zimmerman. What's up?
Hi, another not great to watch basketball game for the Phoenix Suns. That's putting it lightly, I think.
Yeah, the Suns lost 105-93 to Minnesota. Series hasn't started yet, though, Kevin, because the road team, you know, we talked about this. It doesn't look great. They lost this game in... The way I'll put it is this is the exact game I was worried about because, to me... The Suns did a lot well in this game. People are going to criticize Frank Vogel a whole lot over the next couple of days. Guess what? He and his staff, they got to work. They figured out a way to get the gears of the offense spinning. They figured out a way to attack mismatches, but in a way that directly benefits the team. Like KD said after game one, like that's the way they should play still. But then he elaborated on his answer. And I think what he was getting at is what we saw in game two. Like, it's like, yes, if Devin Booker is isolated against Monte Morris, that is a good possession, no matter how it ends. Yes, if you're able to pull Rudy Gobert 25 feet away and drive past him, yes, that's a good possession. Now, some of those possessions didn't go well. And guess what? They adjusted again. They switched it up a bit. They were looking to go at Gobert there. Kevin, when they weren't on transition defense because they turned the ball over, they were playing pretty good defense in the half court. They contained Anthony Edwards this whole game. Karl Anthony Towns was going through one of those Karl Anthony Towns cyclone tornado things that we talked about that happens to him in the playoffs. And the Suns still lost this game decisively because they could not stop turning the ball over. They were their own worst enemy in that regard. Points off turnovers were 31-2, which I think is a nod to just basic stuff like execution, like transition defense, but also the ability to capitalize when your opponents make mistakes. They only had two. Minnesota had 12 turnovers, I think 13. So it's not like they had a spotless night in that regard. They cleaned up the glass. It got a little bit out of hand in the second half when Jaden McDaniels was grabbing everything and dunking everything, but they did well there. Nurk had a good time there. At the same time, Nurk kept the okay. This will be the last thing I'll say because I need to stop talking about the game here. But for all the talk this year about isolation basketball and slowing down the offense and all that kind of stuff, the guy to do it tonight, Kevin, was Yusuf Nurkic. And I don't have anything to say on that. I don't understand how it happens, but it did. And then last thing, like we, as soon as adversity or any sort of like snowball effect could start, it did rapidly. And then the game was over in a snap, just like that. This was the Suns are turning it over immediately game. And the Suns, as soon as like the game could go wrong, it's going to go horribly wrong and it's over game. We've seen 15 of these this year, 20 of these. I've seen this a lot. So I was not surprised. And I tweeted a couple possessions and I was like, oh, it's the turnover game. Like, I don't know how many of these games we're going to get in this series where it's going to just be, oh, they're turning it over and just shooting themselves in the foot. But that's what this one was.
One, I think it's better to frame the turnovers and like when the game got away from them as not sudden, because to the trained eye of us and people who watch the Suns a lot this year, I think there was a moment where they were down 5, even down 7. And it was like, oh, you feel the momentum shifting. And it's like, are the Suns like they very obviously know if we can tell from however many miles away Phoenix is over a TV screen, like this is the moment you cannot let the game get away. And they did. And that's where that's happened enough this season where it's not like they just lost it. It's they lost it over multiple possessions, things compounded. They may be called a timeout. It didn't help. And that's why this team is where it is and why we don't expect them to go anywhere. I want to go back to the turnovers. I mean, we have to talk about it anyway. Story of this game. I need to watch all of the turnovers back and what Minnesota got out of them, but it wasn't like they were absolutely just outrunning the Suns on fast breaks. It was secondary stuff. It was mistake, and then you botched things on defense that shouldn't be botched. To me, that's in a microcosm of not reacting while the bad thing's happening. You don't go and have a good defensive possession once you do get back on defense even. And then on the other side, like, 2 points off 13 turnovers on the other end, like, I know the Suns aren't the fastest, but they were pushing the pace early and turning it over, and then they just stopped pushing the pace at all. Like, I don't understand why that number can be 31-2. Like, yeah, this turnover differential is what? Pretty significant, but I just don't understand those numbers at all. And at some point, I think it's going to come down to how they play defense after making a mistake, and it's just going to look like you botched this, you botched that. Like, you don't react well to making a mistake. That's all I got.
They are not a mentally strong enough basketball team to correct things that have gone wrong in the past.
Yeah.
In game one, second quarter, everyone's talking about it to us after the game. We aren't even asking about it. They're like, we fouled too much, bogged the game down. We were in trouble from there. Third quarter, they start fouling. They were up 63-60. And then they commit three fouls in 90 seconds, starting Minnesota's run, starting to really bog down the Suns' offense even more. And then it was just a couple of baskets later, it was like, uh-oh, here we go. And then Minnesota was up 7 at the end of the fourth, at the end of the third quarter. I mean, you knew this, I knew this, the people listening knew this who have been able to take this team for what it is. Like, we knew the game was over at that point, let's be honest. We knew what was coming. But for Anthony Edwards to be on the bench and for them to make that look as formulaic as it did, like, again, transparency, knowing what's happening, I wasn't really watching a whole lot. I was looking up, looking down. I was like, recap time. I know what this game is. It's over. Time to get to work. But the precision, it was either Minnesota being incredibly precise or the Suns just being a mess. And I like to lean on the latter. I'll wait until I watch it back to fully make that declarative statement. But they blew it open to 20 just so easily. And Ant's on the bench celebrating. And I keep looking over there and seeing Ant on the bench. And I'm like, he's on the bench right now. Like, it. The person commanding the offense is Mike Conley, who was great tonight, but it's Mike Conley. You're in the playoffs. And a Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert two-man game is tearing you guys apart.
Guess that answered that question for me, yeah, when I asked in before the series.
Yeah, and it's been a big part of what they've been able to do, but at the same time, when you take Anthony Edwards out of the equation, when you take Cat out of the equation because of his foul trouble, and you just can't stop the Conley-Gobert two-man game, to win a playoff game like that. That was a lot of this as well. But it was just mainly their offense and allowing Minnesota to play off misses, to be honest. We've gone a long time without mentioning players or coaches or yelling to get our cuts played on the show tomorrow or whatever we're trying to do. I don't know. That was my joke at being hot take, man. The big three were bad. Devin Booker had a brief, he was grinding through the first half to get like a productive outing out there. And then in the mid third quarter, I was like, oh my gosh, he might be here. He hit that pull up three on Conley. And then he spiraled completely. He was the one spiraling the most out of anyone. And it affected him and it affected the whole team. And it wasn't just him. Like, I'm not saying his actions led to everyone else playing like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, when you construct a big three like this, I think one of the big reasons why it's going to be such a success is because when this is happening, when it gets to like 13 in the fourth quarter, all right, Frank calls a timeout. They come back. KD hits a bucket. Maybe Book assists Beal for a three. And it's like all of a sudden, okay, like they've just like calmed everything down. Now it's like a 6-point game. Maybe it's even like a 9 or a 10-point game, but everything's relaxed. These three haven't been able to do it pretty much all year, and I don't know why, because guess what? When Kevin Durant was on his own teams, he did it. When Bradley Beal was on his own teams, he did it. And when Devin Booker was on his own teams, we watched those teams. He did it. I talk all the time about, I think you and I on podcasts like 4 to 5 years ago, we're talking about how, man, that was cool how Book had that 11-2 run in the third quarter when it seemed like we started to recognize him developing this skill of like calming a game down on his own and doing like the superstar thing. None of these three guys can do it. on this team. They just can't. And again, it's all of their faults. If you want us to sit here and like make grandiose statements and just be really loose with it, we're just not going to do that because we can't sit here and act like we know the reason why or know who is to blame the most. But what I can tell you, Kevin, is if you, we talked about this last time, if you take the four best players in the game on Saturday, one of them was on the Suns and it was Kevin Durant. And if you take the three best players, maybe the four best players in this game tonight, there wasn't a Phoenix Sun. The three best players were easily Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert, and Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah.
Easily. So how does that happen when you have that level of talent around you? And how do you decisively lose the game where the Timberwolves beat you decisively again, and Anthony Edwards is not one of their three best players, and Karl-Anthony Towns is not one of their three best players? How do you you just assume like double overtime, close loss, like Ant got hurt, Cat was in foul trouble or whatever? No, like they were playing, and they were just playing bad. And it was 7 assists to 3 turnovers in the second quarter. It's like, okay, here we go. Starting to find it. The gears are spinning. They got out of that first quarter where like Brad's missing dunks, like they're doing fine, a bunch of stuff. Yeah. They're fine. And then they just got to get through it. And then they did in the second quarter to some extent. And then it was just like, okay, just get to halftime and then take everything you were doing so well and just do it again, this time without stepping out of bounds or throwing it to a fan in the court side who is not Bradley Beal. And they just couldn't do it. 8 assists to 10 turnovers. They finished with under 20 assists for the second straight game. I wanted to go back and look like when's the last time that's happened. Definitely the first time that's happened this year. I feel pretty confident in saying that. But, man, it was not unexpected, but it's jarring every time. For whatever reason, it just, like, doesn't – it's not the jarring effect that I feel watching it. It doesn't really go away.
It's as simple as after halftime, look, they got in the game. It was a grind a bit. They're getting to the foul line. They were aggressive. Like, Beal and Book did not do well at scoring at the rim, but they were getting there at least sometimes, especially Beal even. And KD was getting to his spots in mid-range shots, and they were being physical with him, and he got a couple fouls that way. But for some reason, Book's engagement was really good. After halftime, they took 4 free throws. Minnesota doubled theirs. They were both at 15, I think, at halftime. Suns took 4 after they had basically, like, that was the tenor of the game was Cat's in foul trouble. We're attacking at least, even though our offense is not, you know, crisp, spaced out and all that stuff. But they got to their spots, and then they just went away from everything. And, like, look, a part of this series so far is I did not see it. I didn't know Jaden McDaniels could do that on Book. Maybe that's my ignorance on how good he is against a smaller guy like that and using his length and angles and stuff. But at its base, none of the big three can get loose right now on their own. And the offense is not creative enough to get them moving. Like, it did happen in the first quarter, I'd say, even and the second quarter, but they can't keep it up, and I don't know what it is. Like, Naz Reid shouldn't be able to pressure Kevin Durant 50 feet, I might be exaggerating, 40 feet from the basket. Like, that one play where he dribbled off Naz's shoe and they were confused about who went out on, like, no, like, Kevin, in theory, Kevin Durant can take a jumbo power forward / undersized center off the bounce 40 feet away from the basket. Didn't happen. So that might be an age thing for him, but Book and Beal ain't doing it either. I don't know what to tell anyone. Like, at some point, you got to either run offense or you got to have those guys break it down, and neither of those things is working for whatever reasons, and you can blame the coaching for some of that. You know, the point guard stuff is going to keep coming up, and I'll keep saying it over and over again. Like, there might be an issue there. If you had even a Mike Conley on the Suns, yeah, that would solve some issues, maybe. But the biggest thing about this team is they do not know how to get rid of the ball when they should. They do not know how to go help each other when they should. They do not know how to space or see angles to just make basketball easy. They make it 10 times harder than it needs to be. And that's kind of the theme on this team. Like, as good of players, like, we talk about, like, Book and Beal and Durant, and, like, they're tough shot makers, but what happens if you get tough shot makers in situations where they're not tough shots? They haven't done that all year. And that's this team's biggest flaw. And that's why they're probably going to lose in 4 to 5 games here.
Yes, they took 22 threes tonight. Uh-oh, that's not good. I attribute that a lot to the second half in particular. I think the assist totals as well, things like that. But, man, speaking of, to me, it was really frustrating to hear everyone be like, oh, wow, all the home teams are winning. It's just like, it's really tough to win on the road, it looks like, and all this kind of stuff. When it's like, first of all, like, Philly should have won those two games we saw last night. Like, the road team should have won both of those. It was just crazy circumstances.
Yeah.
And second, the difference is the Suns didn't really, game one wasn't like a game they should have won. This was absolutely a game they should have won. Eric Gordon totaled what Naz Reid and Nickeil Alexander-Walker combined for, which was 15 points. Like, that can't happen.
Yeah.
People were making a big deal out of bench points in the first game, and it was like, but what'd you expect this series? Like, their bench is going to outscore the Suns in probably every game. That did not happen tonight. Eubanks did okay. Like, you got pretty solid bench contributions, but their big problem now, and why I feel confident what you said, where they're going the 4 or 5 games route, is Grayson Allen re-injured his ankle. He played through the right ankle sprain. He looked pretty good movement-wise for the first half. And then the third quarter, he re-tweaks the same ankle again. And that's bad. That's not good. I can't remember. I was trying to remember exactly what he said when I asked him, in terms of what he said was, when you re-sprain an ankle again when you're playing through it, it just depends on how you do it again. So there wasn't like a lot of light shed there in terms of what went on there. Should we talk about like getting mad at officials and how dumb that is? I don't know. What are we supposed to say? Like, this was a big talking point after the first game, but I didn't really see it, to be honest. I thought that they were complaining, but it was the usual amount of complaining that I'm used to seeing, especially from this team. But during the disconnect that happened in the second half, it was clearly started by them getting too preoccupied with the officiating and getting too frustrated. And a lot of it was like, I think some of what Vogel is trying to do is like, he's trying to find the balance between doing what his players would want and standing up for them. Like, that Booker challenge was insane. The second one, that was not smart, but I felt like he was just doing it just because his players wanted him to, and he was trying to like support them.
Yeah.
It felt like that was like a leadershipy kind of thing he was trying to do, and by burning a challenge. And he was going crazy. His team was going crazy at the officials, and there was really not much to be super frustrated about. I thought if there was a game to be more mad about with how it was officiated, it was the first game, not the second game. It was the first game. I couldn't figure out what exactly was going on in terms of what was allowed with the physicality and what wasn't. There were certain just like disconnects with what was called tonight, but they let themselves just get completely out of it. And Vogel said as much after. We have talked about it this year, how he has gone the route of getting mad about officiating before saying that his team played poorly.
Yep.
He did not do that tonight at all. He just said, like, we lost focus. We did all of that. I tried my best. I put my working boots on and tried to like ask questions like, how does this happen? Why does this happen? He said, in terms of the offense not going from the first half to the second half, he said, we lost focus. And I said, why? And then he said, first time being together and they lost, they didn't handle adversity in the second half. Brad was asked by Doug Haller about adversity and how does that happen, or how do you get past adversity in the playoffs? And he said mental toughness. So, I mean, it's everything we've been talking about.
I mean, that's the crazy part, is this has popped up over and over again because it happened in the regular season. But then I think it was practice in mini or the pregame on Saturday where he basically said, like, I'm excited for us to face adversity for the first time. And it's like, Frank, you probably should have, like, used the opportunities for adversity in the 82 games before that, and then you'd be more prepared for this moment. And that's where it just doesn't. It's like, you guys definitely played that we're gonna tinker around in the regular season, we have big goals, and then you just forgot to get better, and you forgot to, like, use that as a testing ground for more than getting Bol Bol minutes and can he play in the rotation, which we landed at no. So you, that's all we did. We was like, Bol Bol maybe outplayed his contract, that's all we got in the regular season at this point. Like, that's where, like, it's bad looks. And I'm sure, like, again, behind closed doors, I'm sure they've had tough conversations and been critical of one another and all that stuff. So fans don't like to think about the things that they don't see. But just saying, that was not a good comment when it's like, I'm excited to see adversity. Because might be too late.
Well, what I'll add to say the same thing in a different way, because that's what we've been freaking doing on this podcast for 4 months, is my line about 40 consistent minutes, like 48, let's just settle for 40.
Like a college, just a college game's worth.
What do we get tonight? Like 16, 18, 20?
Yeah, 16, 20.
Because... my goodness, Kevin, like I said, if they just take their offense, like especially in the second quarter and even in the first quarter, just take out, just cut the turnovers in half. I'm not saying like give me 14 turnovers instead of 20. Give me 20 points off turnovers instead of 31.
Yeah,
give me that.
It's a game.
That's all I'm asking for. And what is going to happen is not only are you going to turn the ball over less and give them less points, but you are going to get better looks, which is going to get you more points. And what is going to happen is when the ball goes in inside the thing, Kev, you're going to be able to set your defense. And when they had their defense set, they were good. They were really good.
They were good. Yeah.
So there, what I'm being a little like, sarcastic about, whatever, you know, whatever words that I can't say on podcasts. Yeah. I was about to say there. I was going to say Pratt. Can I say that?
I don't know what that means. Brat.
It's like an English.
English
thing,
Brat. Think, okay.
I think so. I think Brat was what I was looking for anyway. Now I have to look up Pratt and make sure that it's not something offensive that I can't say on a podcast. Yeah. I guess if you hear it right now, it's not, or we checked and it's not. What I'm getting at is, hey, guess what, Kev? If that team played for like 3.5 consistent quarters in the series, they'd win the series. Mm-hmm. Like, we just saw what it was, even with their big three just kind of being fine. They would win the series with that team because they defensively achieved so much that their offense was going to be able to reach a certain level no matter what, but they just can't. And they haven't been able to for a long time. And probably been kidding yourself if you thought otherwise. I'm sorry. Like, I
think I was kidding
myself. I didn't understand. Again, I talked about this after game. I didn't understand how I became I'm not trying to make this a me thing, but like how I turned into the person that picked against the Suns, apparently. Cause like, I was like, where is every,
we had a round table at work for all of you listening.
I was the only one who picked.
It was all Minnesota. The show hosts, us two. So that's eight people. I think eight people did it. You were the only one who picked the T-Wolves. And I looked at that because I'm the one who put it together. And I was like, I don't like changing my answer from this podcast. Are we all crazy? And then I go look at FanDuel and it's like, weren't the Suns favorite in the series to start? So I was like, okay, like
it was a coin flip series, but it was, and just to change the subject, cause I hate this conversation. I'm the one who started it. I'm sorry. It's just like the consistency, we never saw it all year. And to act like they, as a team, believed that the last 10 games of the season, because we heard it a ton from everyone, was like the last 10 games of the season is when they turned it around. It's like in those last 10 games of the season, we saw the same stuff. We saw it to a frightening degree in those Clippers games. Like, we saw it a lot. So I don't really know where that got lost. because I'm just, again, I'm just trying to say that
the wins against the tough schedule, we over calculated and thought just because
they had back to back impressive wins for the first time all season, basically, is what happened. And it was at the end of the season.
I wouldn't even call it. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't even call the Kings game a very good win because they played like crap for part of that. And came back a little, or I don't, that's so far away. Anyway. Yeah. We lied to ourselves. I personally, at least, will say I felt like I lied to myself. And then that's why last podcast after game one, I was like, oh, I made a huge mistake. Cause guess what? I did make a huge mistake. I stand with that thing of all things I'm going to stand with. I made a mistake.
Yeah. Let's look ahead to Friday before we go.
Yeah.
Cause we did really good, Kev, getting to 25 minutes there by saying the same thing we've said for six straight months about this basketball team.
More passionately, maybe.
Yeah, I guess. for Friday, that's when the game is. Friday, right? Friday.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be we'll be there in Phoenix. Does that matter? I don't. Again, no. I don't think so. They can still win. What are we going to see? Changes? Is that where you're going at?
No. I'm not really interested in changes, to be honest. Or like rotation stuff. I think the saving graces are one, the schematic slash like formulaic stuff they were able to figure out in this game and like do well when it was going well. But again, it happened for a quarter and a half. So I'm not like, I'm not being the optimistic one here. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying the path to success is there, one. And then two, it's like, hey, you know what would help if Devin Booker or Kevin Durant like had one of those games that they have. Devin Booker had 10 straight last year. You know what I mean? He had 10 straight of those games. Yeah. And he's 0 for 2 this year. KD, I think to an extent, was at that level with his shot making. Like someone replied to me and said, these are awful looks. And it's like, KD got awful looks in game one. He just made them because he's Kevin Durant. They always are going to have that out for them. But at this point, again, I'm going to repeat what I've said a lot, but this is a new one I haven't said yet today, which is if they get the big three going, if some of them, some portion of that trio gets going and they hit a lot of threes, they can win. Yeah. Other than that, don't see it.
Grayson's going to be an issue. I mean, you could correlate what happened to him being gone, but I don't, there were too many other issues than it to be just spacing, and he had only 3 points anyway. Played well in 17 minutes, but I'm going to say this. What happened was that the Clippers game late in the season where they just decided to bomb threes and go small? I'm not saying they're going to go small, because obviously they don't want to do that. But KD needs to get up, specifically him, because he's 7 feet tall. Tell him to take at least 5 threes. Let's start at 5. Space the court. That's my only, like, do adjustments, man things.
Oh, yeah, they should have played small tonight, huh? They didn't do that.
They did not do that, even though you wrote about it, and it was like, okay, they're not listening to Kellen about it.
Well, I predicted it at the end. I was like, it would be not smart to read into the rebounding and think that that was because of playing small, because it wasn't. But, oh, well, it was because the gang rebounded, especially in the first half. They were great. Everyone was getting in there. Nurk was awesome with rebounding tonight. It was just the isolation stuff. For those wondering at home, a Pratt is an incompetent or stupid person, an idiot, or a person's buttocks. Quora.com says it has never been a swear word. So we're in the clear.
See, I couldn't find that. Glad you know where to look to make sure we're good.
Hey, man, I'm going to keep trying. Well, hopefully I'm back in this hotel room or one of these hotel rooms in this hotel or another hotel. That feels kind of uncertain now, because I think that if we don't see the kind of response that we're expecting in game three, then things could go, like, again, we've seen that type of effort already where it's like, oh man, it looks like they're just done with this season. We saw it in the Clippers game. So that possibility lingers, and it is gotta be stressful for those still emotionally invested in the series, which I understand there are some of you out there. I sympathize with you. Again, this is how I ended the podcast last time. I'm ending it here again. Hope you guys are doing okay.
Oh, the moon's above your head. You're supposed to remind you about that.
No, it's okay. I was supposed to use like a light bulb metaphor or something, and then say the moon was the light bulb, but whatever.
We probably won't say anything smart enough to have a light bulb moment, but...
One thing before we go.
Yeah.
we kind of glanced by it, and I did a really good job of not doing this in the Denver series, and I'm doing it here. Minnesota was great tonight. Like, they were just... They were great. They were really sloppy in the first half. Don't get me wrong, but they just stuck with it the whole time. And then once like the Suns were like, "Uh-oh, we might be blowing the game again," and they just jumped on them immediately. When the offense wasn't really going that well, McDaniels was great, like you said. He just the limitations of his game at this point. So Jade McDaniels 2 years ago, like he looks like a great defender. It's like, can he hit enough threes? And then last year. It was either last year or 2 years ago. I believe it was last year. He had like stretches where he was scoring, and it was like, oh, can Jade McDaniels like do some scoring? And we saw that guy tonight. We saw the limitations of it, which is like how much he can do and like where he gets those baskets. But at the same time, he stepped up when they needed him, and Conley did as well. Like we talked about that after game one. I thought Conley got to his spots pretty well and was probably going to have a big game if that continued. And here was the big game, and that's his big game. Jaden McDaniels was the leading scorer in this game. He had 25 points. If I would have like, it would have definitely been plus odds. If I was to say like, would Jaden McDaniels be leading scorer in this game? I always said like plus 300 probably would have been yes. And that's what happened. Conley was great. Rudy Gobert was just really, really good.
He survived on islands quite a bit, and they could not. Yeah.
Yes, but people are acting like that's not what the Suns should do. And it's like, well, he's still a giant human being who can't move super quick.
Yeah.
So if you just drive by him and finish at the rim, you're fine. But they just missed layups when they got there, or gasp, Kevin, they could have triggered ball movements once they got in there. But again, it's just like the mental stuff and just like Gobert's on me and all this kind of stuff. They just couldn't get through it. But to the Minnesota point again, I really like some of the stuff that Chris Finch like changed around. We'll get more into it. We won't, cause we're not previewing game three. I'll be getting more into it when I preview game three with like the stuff that they change. But again, I think it most notably goes down to like, oh, well just Mike just and doesn't have it tonight. He's going to pass to open shooters. He could have had, by the way, like 12, 13 assists tonight. He only had 8, but he did a decent job of doing that. He just couldn't find his scoring at all, and he was settling, but he was just pull-up threes were kind of his ticket tonight. Tough jumpers were his ticket tonight, and they weren't going down. The Suns did a much better job of not letting him get free early in the game so he could find a rhythm, because there was a pull-up three that didn't go in for him in the third quarter, and I thought in my head, like, that would have gone in game one because he would have had, like, a rhythm established, but he didn't. Not a good Nas Reed game. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had a really good second half. He wasn't really there in the first half. But yeah, they're a really good team, man. And the physicality and the matchup that we talked about when we did that episode, like a month ago, ranking these teams, this was a lot of it. It was that they're balanced. They're deep. Kyle Anderson did not play tonight. He was active technically, but he didn't play. They played an 8-man rotation with Monte Morris, who's like he played a little bit more, but it was just mainly the other guys playing a lot more, like McDaniels, 41 minutes. Gobert played 39. Ant was at 38, but Nikhil Alexander-Walker was way up there at 31.
One thing we should think about, convo for the next time. Here's a teaser for the next pod after game three, probably. We had this feeling and we're like, Nuggets last year playing the Suns after games 3-4, I think. We were like, that team could win the NBA title. I don't think we're going to have that about the T-Wolves. And that's why this feels different. It's like, Suns should be winning this, even with their kind of flaws. If they didn't have the consistency thing, and that's where it's kind of like just a lot more missing than just like
you're like it'll be like Nuggets in 5, and you'll be like, they could have easily like just been that team instead. Right. Like, and not to say like they would have been the team that Denver would have demolished. It would have been like that. This kind of shows how beatable they were in that series. So it's like, yeah, yes, they have been beatable. But at the same time, there's a certain level of gusto that they have had to have as a team in both of these games. And they've done it in both of these games. And that's the gusto that the Suns are lacking in an extraordinary amount.
No gusto. Got it. Yep.
No gusto. All right, pal. Ready to see my face in real life.
Yeah.
Instead of over screen. Same to you.
Excited to hit some Ant post game stuff. Personally. Ooh.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right, bud. We'll end it there. Thank you to everyone for listening again. The night of game 3, night of game 4, and if necessary, games 5 through 7 again. We'll be back. Written stuff coming on Thursday afternoon/evening to preview the game. And we'll be back then to talk about more basketball. Bye, everyone.